Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm great. It's been a while again, y'all. It's been like a month.
It flew by.
It really did. It feels like we were just here like last week doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Same old song and dance. Hello, everybody. Hello. Oh, look. While I'm saying all right. Hello.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Weekly Variety. Welcome back if you're an old listener. We love that you're coming back. Welcome, new listeners. We hope that you come back whenever we come back, which we don't know when that is. So hopefully you stick around long enough for another episode to come out. What do we got her?
I have not even logged on yet.
Oh, my.
I'm working on
Anyways, hopefully everyone is having a lovely life.
No. We don't have God. Alaska.
That's
such bullshit.
That's impossible. That's fucking impossible. They've had long enough. Oh my God. But anyways, hopefully everyone's safe. You know, the big C is coming back and it's not nice out there, but
what's
COVID.
That?
Oh, COVID.
Okay. cold winter.
Hopefully everyone's staying safe and healthy. It's hot out.
It's
as per usual.
Humid.
My uncles came in from Florida and we were talking about the weather because they're from Florida, so they're used to the hot. It's been the hottest July on record.
The world is burning.
And I believe it. Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
It's like it's 70s today, upper 70s, but the humidity is disgusting.
It feels like it's 100.
Oh my God. If anyone else out there is suffering from the heat and humidity, let us know. But I mean, how have you been? You're ruling the house this weekend because the man's out at his bachelor party.
Yeah.
Where'd he go?
The beach. The shore.
To one of the shores.
If you can guess which shore.
Sure. But the cabs are here.
We'll leave it a mystery, but the cabs are here. I mean, I have to work, so whatever.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. And we've been in the basement. We're recording in Tori's basement, and we've been hearing like a strange, like, bassy sound. It's not like as, like, I'm trying to think of the words. It's not like footsteps where you could hear like boom, boom. It's kind of just like boom. Like a weird, like soft, like boom.
Yeah, it's like someone is outside playing
just like
music, maybe?
Jumping on a porch or like maybe? Going, like a car going over a pothole or something.
But we're hearing it underground somehow.
Yeah, it's very strange.
I don't know.
And Tori has to sleep here.
Well, I don't have to. I could go anywhere and sleep if I want to.
That's true.
So.
We are out of practice with this podcast here.
Let's start off by saying I accidentally deleted our intro music.
Oh, true. That was a
and
stressful,
for the past
hectic
20 minutes, I've been trying to find the damn intro music.
Yeah.
And I finally found it.
We were about to record a new intro.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been pretty.
I had a strange electronic music one that Kelsey does not like.
It's too intense. I think
it
this
is
one's
intense.
Good because it's like, you know.
It is. It's good.
Uplifting.
Yes.
It's like happy.
But if you guys ever hear that, it's because I lost the fucking intro again.
Maybe we'll put it at the end of this episode.
Just so you can hear
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we can
okay.
do that.
All right. We'll end with it.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. I had something to talk about.
We went to a bar.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to talk about. So in our town, there's this new bar that's like really dark and gothic. And should I give the name? No. Okay. And it's actually, there's like a TikTok made like about it. And it's like a pretty popular TikTok at this point. But we went there for some late night drinks. Too late. No, it was just because they were, like, booked solid for a long time, and the reservation that we got was for 9:45, and Tori goes to bed at 9 o'clock,
latest, on the dot.
Latest 9 o'clock.
On the dot.
But it was a fun little experience. We were kind of like shoved into a corner that was like on the farthest end of the bar, like away from everything and everyone. So it was interesting.
It was kind of okay, but.
And whoever decided to get the furniture in there, like the tables and the chairs. I got a
problem with the person who picked out those chairs.
They must have had like.
The tiniest the ass. The
smallest person pick out those furniture pieces because, like, my one ass cheek fit on that chair.
I don't think.
And the table was, like, a sliver.
The table was in the shape of a coffin.
But it was, like, a small coffin. But it was coffin.
The most unsturdy.
It really was.
Like, you would put your foot on it and the whole thing would crack a little bit, like creak.
Yeah.
I was very concerned and that, like, the entire getup was going down.
One false move, it was very, like, narrow but long. So, like, if there's one false push, that whole table's going down.
Yes. And everyone in the building. Like dominoes.
But, like, that's the one complaint I had. The very good food, very good drinks. But the one complaint, what?
Yeah, no. That's okay. I was going to say what my favorite part was.
Go ahead.
There was a bumper sticker in the bathroom.
I need that.
A bumper sticker in the bathroom on the toilet paper roll holder that said something like, honk if you have a big fat dump truck ass.
Oh, I love it. Yes. I love it. I need that.
Yeah.
I can't believe that it exists.
I just looked at it and I was like, okay.
As soon as she came out and told me about it, I tried to Google and find it, but there was like one stupid looking one. There wasn't one that was like a legit, like.
I think at the bottom of it, it said everyone loves movies. I don't know why.
Huh.
Or maybe that was a separate sticker. But maybe Googling that would help you.
Good point. Write that down for me since I'm not going to remember.
Okay.
All right.
I wrote it down.
But anyways, lovely place if anyone's
great
listening.
Place. Great place. Loved the great drinks. Atmosphere.
The waitress was like the nicest little human being on this planet.
Yes, yes. Great place.
Yeah,
great. Terrible seats.
Terrible seats.
If they want a slogan, great place, terrible seats.
I mean, maybe that's the point. Maybe they want people to get out of there sooner. So they're like, all right, make sure their legs go numb completely.
Yes.
And it did. And a friend of the podcast, Courtney, came out and visited. She had a shower to go to, so we all went out, and it was fun times had by all.
It was a good time.
It was. And I got a charcuterie board of literally only meat, and it was shaped like a skull. What was that thing called?
The meat plate or something like that? Skull. No, meat skull. The meat skull.
Yep. Delicious. They had kangaroo meat.
Ew.
So fun.
Oh, God. Speaking of meat skulls. What are we talking about?
Funny you should say that. Because that's like kind of exactly what we're fucking talking about today. We're going to talk about
charcuterie boards?
No. A little place called Cannibal Island.
Oh.
Meat skulls. Don't people get, like, super, super sick if they eat human brains?
Probably.
Yeah, there's, like, a disease that's caused if you eat human brains. So just word of advice, don't eat human brains.
So don't do it.
So don't do it. Every other part of the human, go for it. But brain, no.
Jesus.
But anyways, we're talking
Let's
about...
not condone that.
We're talking about Cannibal Island today. So when you think of horrible dictators, who's the first person to come to your mind?
Yeah, Hitler, Stalin.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's Hitler. That's usually, you know, who I think of.
Yeah.
He's responsible for, well, if anyone doesn't know about the history of the world.
Oh, boy.
Well, no.
Yikes.
There's people that still don't, like, they don't know what the Holocaust was.
I know.
Which blows my mind that people don't. I was just going to say some bad things, but I'm not, just in case any of our listeners don't know what the Holocaust is. But Hitler is responsible for the killing of an estimated 17 million people in total, and 6 million of those, an estimated 6 million, were European Jews during World War II, And that's what the Holocaust was. It was the genocide of the 6 million European Jews. So I always think Hitler killed the most, but a dictator who actually killed more people than Hitler did was Joseph Stalin.
That was the second person I said.
Mm-hmm. But, like, for some reason in the history books, it's always, like, Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
And, like, Joseph Stalin was just, like, a communist that, like, you know, was there.
I'm just a bud. I'm just a bro.
I'm just a homie from Russia. But Joseph Stalin, for anyone who doesn't know, was a communist political leader who governed the Soviet Union, which is now Russia, from 1924 until his death in 1953. And it's said that Stalin was responsible for killing 23 million people.
Yikes.
That's a lot of people. And that fun fact, once I looked into, like, deadliest dictators and deadliest world leaders, well, not really a fun fact, but now... a communist leader named Mao Zedong was actually the most, he killed the most people. He killed between 49 and 78 million.
Shut the fuck up! I'm sorry, so 70 million people?
Yeah.
Okay.
From 19...
And who was this guy?
This was Mao Zedong. He was the communist leader of People's Republic of China.
Okay.
And,
when?
From 1949 to 1976.
That's not so, that long ago.
Yeah, less than 30 years.
Holy shit.
He killed 78 million people.
Okay.
And that's just estimated. Like, there could be way more.
That's upsetting.
But anyways. So, just a warning for this episode. I mean, it's Cannibal Island, so... You should expect gruesome things, but viewer discretion is advised. We are going to
listener
be
discretion is listener, advised.
Oh, sorry. Listener discretion is advised. We will be talking about quite violent things. Stalin was a very violent person.
Okay.
It's fine.
I'll be fine.
It's fine. Oh, come on. Okay. You're a doctor.
Okay, here we go.
So back to Stalin. During his early reign, he tried to launch a new economy, which in turn, it screwed up food production and caused a massive famine that killed off a lot of people. It's said that the casualties range from 2.6 million to 10 million people. During the 1930s, Stalin launched another initiative called the Great Purge. And it was a campaign that was paranoid to kill off the people who opposed him. Or what it turned into, just anyone that happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Stalin also made a decree that made families liable for the crimes committed by a husband or father. So that meant that children as young as 12 could be executed.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stalin sent most of the prisoners to his gulag camps.
Gulag.
They were spread throughout the Soviet Union, and they're very similar to the concentration camps of Hitler. I'll repeat that sentence because I cannot say it that way. So Stalin sent most of these prisoners to the gulag.
I think that's a funny word.
Well, isn't gulag. It like Call of Duty? The gulag or the gulag or something?
I have no idea.
I feel like I've seen or heard, I don't know, whatever. But these camps, they were spread throughout the Soviet Union, and they were very similar to the concentration camps of Hitler. So, like, you know, people were treated terribly, horrifically. In 1929, Stalin came up with what was called collectivization, which it was an
order.
That
sounds bad.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. It does sound bad. This was an order that all peasants in areas such as Ukraine give up their homes and land and go to work on what's Soviet collective farms.
Okay.
There was a group of people called kulaks, and they were kind of like wealthier peasants who they disagreed with collectivization. These people would destroy their
tools.
So they
like wanted to stay home, basically.
Yeah, they didn't want to
work on a farm.
Exactly. Well, they didn't believe in what Stalin was doing. They didn't like Stalin. They didn't like what he was doing to the USSR.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds about right.
Yep. So they would destroy their tools, slaughter their animals, and burn their crops before they would give anything up to Stalin and his party. So Stalin did what Stalin does best, and he had everyone shot and everyone else sent to the gulags. I think it's gulags. Yeah. You kind of wonder, like, what? How did these people, like, how?
In every sense of the word. I mean, it's not like he was going around doing it himself.
But still, he gave the orders to.
I know, but, like, these other people that did it, they were just like, okay.
Yeah.
And they just went and did it. They made it. What the fuck?
Yeah, this comes up, but they were probably just scared of getting killed themselves.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But
still.
Yeah, I know. It's all real bad. Real yeah, bad. Yeah,
it's not a good time.
But by 1933, yeah, but like the 30s and the 40s, not a good time. What the
hell was going on there?
Not a good time at all. By 1933... the gulags were so crowded that even Stalin realized he couldn't keep stuffing people into them. Enter Henrik Yagoda. Yagoda was just another in the line of officers Stalin promoted to the top job, got bored with, and then headshot.
Oh my god, okay. But I wasn't expecting...
before he got shot, he was part of a team overseeing the mess that was collectivization, and his job was making sure Stalin decrees somehow work without starving everyone to death. So Yagoda's plan was to have all of these kulaks work on collective farms by resettling them, by resettling 2 million people in Siberia, give them tools and make them build their own self-sustaining farms. In his mind, this would solve the famine while the Siberian weather would provide the punishment part.
Yeah. Because everyone just has to be punished.
Well, yeah. Well, they're the people that go against Stalin, so they all need to be punished. So Yagoda was so excited about his plan that he started to act upon it before Stalin even approved it. He sent out quotas of kulaks for police forces to arrest immediately. And for Stalin's police, not getting this quota meant that you were just going to be part of someone else's quota. So basically, if you didn't reach this quota, you were going to be killed.
Oh, great.
So they had a huge...
Sounds like Cintas.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. So these police had, Stalin's police, they had a huge incentive to bring in prisoners. So that meant if these people, if these police were somewhere where there weren't many kulak, you went after... anyone who didn't have their internal passport, so like basically a passport. And I don't know about you, but I don't walk around with my passport all the time.
No.
Well, I did for a minute.
I feel like most people don't.
I did for a minute because I didn't have my license, but...
Okay. Well, yeah, but that's... Okay, that's different. If you have your ID, like, you're not... I mean, I don't know. Sometimes...
Yes.
Sometimes you forget your wallet, too, or like... True. Whatever, I don't know.
So, having the passport made you illegal... You hear that, Mark?
Sometimes people forget their wallets. And they end up in the gulag.
Oh, boy. But anyways. Having a passport, it made you a legal citizen. And if you didn't have one, you were automatically a criminal.
So great.
People were literally being stolen off the streets left and right.
Love it.
There were instances of people going to the market without a passport and being deported without even being able to tell their family and, like, never seeing their family again.
That's terrible.
There was an instance of a little girl that was 12 years old who was left on a train platform while her mom went to go buy bread. And when her mother came back, she was gone, like, taken by police. And or there's a ton of instances. There's a 103-year-old man who went out on the street for some air, got snatched, a student who was taken off his aunt's doorstep in Moscow.
My goodness.
There was even a pregnant woman deported for not having her passport while she was holding the passport. So they didn't care.
So they were just taking anyone, exactly. Really.
Exactly. They did not care. And hundreds of thousands of people disappeared in this way. It's said that there's like 750,000 recorded people that went missing, but historians believe that it was like almost twice as much.
Oh yeah, I mean, they're not gonna record. I mean, if anything, they're gonna keep it from being recorded.
Mm-hmm. There's like an instance of a woman that went out to have a cigarette in her own home, and the police took her. Could you imagine? Oh my god! And people in this country complain. Are you fucking kidding me? Put a fucking mask on and shut up. Anyways. So.
Anyway.
All these people were loaded onto trains bound for Siberia with conditions so bad that many died en route. In Siberia, officials weren't warned about the thousands of people coming in. So
Siberia is probably like, what?
Exactly.
I don't have enough guest beds. I don't know.
Well, no, they didn't. They were supposed to. Well, hang on. I'll keep reading.
Okay.
By May of 1933, nearly 90,000 prisoners were transported to Siberia, but no money or supplies were sent with them to care for them. So great. They literally just sent 90,000 people to the super small town. I think it's called. I didn't put it in here. Starts with a T. I think it's like Tosk or something. Anyways, and there were no supplies.
How?
Yeah.
Well, everyone dies.
So at this point, officials didn't want to deal with it anymore. They wanted to lighten the load. Well, of course. And to
they started it.
And to do this, they sent 5,000 prisoners and 50 guards down the Ob River to the island gulag called Nazino Island, or what later would be known as Cannibal Island.
Ooh, here it comes.
So 5,000 people were sent to this island, which is a low-lying swampland. It's only 2 miles long, which is 3 kilometers, and 650 yards wide, or 600 meters. And it was in the middle of an ice-covered, freezing Siberian river.
Okay, I was gonna ask, why didn't people just leave?
Like, May, it was like early May, early to mid-May when this all happened. And early to mid-May, normal in, you know, the U.S., anywhere that's in that kind of, like, layer of the earth. But Siberian May, it's still freezing. It's still snowing. It's still really not safe. So, by the time the barge reached the island on May 18th, 1933... 27 settlers had already died of exposure.
Yeah. Out of 5,000?
Out of 5,000, yeah.
Okay.
On the island, there was zero shelter, just trees that the settlers were meant to cut down and use to build huts, but the officials, as per usual, forgot to give them any tools.
Nice.
So they were left with no choice. They had to sleep in the snow while sleep on the snow while it was snowing on them.
Okay.
And by By May 19th, which was the next day, 295 additional prisoners died.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. That's bad. That's some bad statistics.
That is. That's real bad. I was shocked when I read that.
Oh, boy.
So that that just shows, like, how terrible the conditions were prior to them going to that island, that they could die just overnight.
I mean, it's got to be, like, really cold, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely.
And just it being cold without any shelter, I mean,
yeah.
I'm not incredibly surprised, but like,
yeah,
I don't know.
And they were, if they were just snatched from their doorstep, they probably didn't have the proper clothing. They probably just had like,
why
whatever.
Didn't that girl light her cigarette?
Seriously, I just lit myself on fire. So almost all the people that were sent to Cannibal Island had been city dwellers that were caught without their passports. So that meant they had no agricultural or survival skills that the real kulaks would have had. On the barges, the prisoners had been given a lump of bread to survive, but now the guards couldn't be bothered to turn the flour that they brought into bread. So they just handed each prisoner 200 grams of raw flour.
Okay.
And that was less food than even prisoners in Auschwitz had to live on. It was just literally 200 grams of raw flour.
I don't think you can eat raw flour.
No, you're not supposed to. So desperately, many of the settlers mixed the flour with the dirty river water and just ate it. And that led to a huge outbreak of dysentery. Ew. And what's dysentery for the people?
You gonna shit your brains out.
Yeah, like automatic diarrhea. Puke your
brains out. Yeah, you gonna die.
Mm-hmm. So, on May 22nd, only 4 days after the barges arrived, the prisoners had reached new depths of suffering. Freezing rain killed people nightly. People who built fires laid so close to them that they burned to death. And on top of that...
That would be you.
Yeah, I know. That's so would be me. Just roast some marshmallows off my body. Stay warm, please. On top of that, the guards hadn't returned with any food since they gave the 200 grams of flowers. So the settlers started a riot.
And these guards are, like, on the island, too?
They're on their barges or on the bank. Like, the island, okay. It's kind of like 3 Mile Island in Harrisburg. It's okay. In the middle of a river, but it's not, like, super wide. So, like, they could hear what's going on the island if they're loud enough. And that's exactly what happened. The settlers started a riot, and they created enough noise that the guards on the bank sailed over to see what was going on. The guards agreed to start the flower rations again, but instead of distributing person to person, they demanded that the survivors had to self-organize into groups of 150 people, pick out a leader, and that leader would give out the flower quota.
Okay.
So that turned people against each other. And amongst the settlers, there was a small amount of violent criminals and just like sociopaths because they would just pick anyone out.
Sure.
And they would present themselves as the group leaders and just take the flower for themselves. So that started...
Fucking A.
Yeah. That started a... It resulted in a bunch of people starving to death except for like that small group of criminals.
So were they just like eating the flower by itself?
Yeah.
Without water? Just like...
Mm-hmm.
Such a dry mouth.
I know. That's the least of their worries.
Probably, yeah. I'm sure you're right.
Yeah, they, that's all they had, which is so sad to think about.
That is very disappointing.
Raw flour. Like, I know with,
raw flour and snow to just, yeah, that's your water.
Like, edible cookie dough, not to change the subject, but edible cookie dough, you don't cook it. So the flour that you put into it, you need to bake the flour to kill any bacteria that's in it. And I'm sure this flour was loaded with germs and shit.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me? Yeah, of course. They're probably, like, passing it with their hands, yep, and, like...
On top of
whatever was in water. It to begin with. Like, ugh. You might as well just stick your head in a porta potty and slurp up.
Seriously.
Nasty.
So
God.
I know. It's really sad. So, I bet you're wondering, why didn't they try to escape?
I was wondering.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was thinking about it, and I thought maybe, like, the water would just freeze them to death immediately.
That was one of the things.
Or the guards would, like, shoot them dead.
They did try to escape. Most drowned because, A, the water was freezing, and B, they were weak. They
right.
were living off
yeah,
of flour.
Yeah, true.
Those who made it to the banks, they were usually shot by the guards. And
God, why am I right?
I know. And the few who actually escaped the banks were hunted down by the guards, like, as a game. Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, by, like, as sport. Speaking of the guards, these guys were, like, assholes. Like, the worst of the worst. Yeah. While they were safe and warm on their barges, they would usually get drunk, go on deck, and they would shoot prisoners for fun.
That's great.
Or other times, they would sail to the island... Just throw a hunk of bread and just watch as the people, like, tore each other apart trying to get food. Some of them would trade hunks of bread for sex with young female prisoners. Or others would order, like, the criminals of the group to rip out the gold teeth of the older prisoners in exchange for cigarettes.
You don't need a cigarette right now.
Yeah, I know. Well, that might be the one thing that they freaking want real bad.
Want bread.
Yeah. No, they want a cigarette.
Okay, well, that might be you too.
So basically at that point, I'd be like, I'm dying. Give me a cig. it would have been bad enough if the prisoners were left on the island and the guards just left them alone, but like the guards caused like such like havoc and just they played mental games with them and stuff. Like they made it so much worse. And they offered nothing to them.
just mean.
It really is. So, but everyone was. Between 1930 and 1940, well, 50, kind of, late 40s.
Everyone was mean.
Everyone was mean. So on May 25th, 1 week after the barges landed, the camp doctor started noticing the first signs of cannibalism while examining the corpses of five prisoners. When he relayed the message back to officials, he was told the settlers are degenerate and cannibal by habit. 2 days later, another barge landed on the island with an additional 1,000 prisoners.
Oh, come on! Yeah.
Did they bring any food? No, not at all. Why would they do that? By late May, the stronger prisoners had broken off into gangs, murdering anyone if they had food. As June rolled around, the survivors did the only thing that they could think of to survive. With all of these dead bodies lying around, they started to eat them.
I hope they cooked them first.
Well, yeah. They made skewers, actually.
Skewers!
Skewers! They made skewers from the willow branches of the trees that were on the island. And, you know, cut the corpse in pieces, fry them up, roast them over the campfire. Some stronger prisoners would eat the nearly dead, so they weren't even fully dead. But still alive prisoners, just to end their suffering. Instead of them, like, suffering for 3 days, they just killed them and ate them.
Okay. I mean,
by that point,
I'm not sure why I think that's better.
I know, but, right? Ugh. It's so bad that you think that that's...
But if I were just gonna, like, slowly die for 3 days, I don't know. I'd probably want someone to, like, kill me.
Yeah, exactly. And these people were hungry, so they were like, all right, well, let's speed up the process.
All right, come on.
One eyewitness recalled, and this is, quote, on the island, there was a guard named Kostiva Vinikov. Sorry if I mispronounced that. I'm not sorry. You suck. He was a young guard. He fell in love with a girl who had been sent there, and he was courting her. He protected her, but one day he had to be away for a while, and he told one of his comrades to take care of her, but with all the people there, the comrade couldn't do much, really. People caught the girl, tied her to a poplar tree, cut off her breasts, her muscles, everything they could eat. Everything. They were hungry. They had to eat. When Kostia came back, she was still alive. He tried to save her, but she had lost too much blood. So that was an eyewitness that wasn't even on the island. This was someone that saw this happening and was like, oh, well.
My.
Yeah.
God.
But I read, like, the prisoners, they, I guess this was a small town that was, like, near this island, so people would travel on the banks and stuff. And these people, it's such a remote location, this town, that they didn't even know what Moscow was. Like, when these people were like, where are we? Like, where's Moscow? They had no idea. So, they probably definitely did not have a phone in that village. Probably had...
You would think they would have a boat or something that they could...
You'd think, Shmoop. But then I'm sure they had the guards there, too. And they were probably scared for their lives.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Okay, this just makes me...
I know. I always think what I would do in situations like that, right? But it was the 1930s.
Right now it's the 2020s.
I mean, yeah. We're educated people, and we know the value of lives. But, like, I don't know if these people... You know, it's tough. It's very hard to say.
I know.
And I always think of what I would do. I feel like I would, like, in the cover of night, try and sail over to the island. But then I'd be scared that they would eat me.
Yeah.
Big, wompy girl like me. Got plenty of eats on me. I would feed a whole village. But anyways. By mid-June, the suffering was so horrific that not even the Soviets could ignore it. A month after the barges first landed...
But they started it!
I know, but then they were like, ooh. Ooh. Maybe we should stop. A month after the barges first landed, the authorities abruptly dissolved the settlement, and the surviving prisoners were evacuated to other collective farms.
My God.
In total, over 6,700 resettlers had spent time on the island, and in 1 month, fewer than 2,200 of them walked off the island. So that means, like...
Where did they go?
Over 4,000.
After that.
Well, they were sent to other collective farms. Like, Stalin was still in ruling, so they were sent to these farms.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
So they just went, like, back out into the world. They were like,
yep.
All right.
I've tasted human flesh.
Yeah.
This is different.
Yeah, how do you just re-enter society after that? Yeah. Oh, yikes.
But over 4,000
had to have some kind of disease.
Yeah, they all died on... Well, that's...
They all died.
Yeah. Over 4,000 people died in 1 month.
That's a lot.
Then the 50 guards who oversaw the island all had their party memberships revoked and were jailed for a measly 12 months. Ain't that sweet?
Well, I think they should be put on Cannibal Island with each other.
Seriously. If they had their guns taken away, oh my god, those people would have killed them.
I mean, you know?
It was different back then, man. Way different.
I have no hope.
I know. Cannibal Island, it may be gruesome, but it was only a very small chapter in the two decades of immense suffering unleashed by Stalin. If you want to research more about him and how horrible he was, just Google it. But there's a lot that, you know, the history books, like, I don't really, like I said before when we first started, I don't really, Stalin... I knew that he existed.
Yeah.
I had no idea how violent he was and how many people he killed. No idea. I thought Hitler was top guy.
Yeah.
And also, Genghis Khan killed 40 million people.
You know, I wonder what happens to them. You know? Like, they have to have such a negative, like, karma scale, you know, by the time they go. I mean, where at that point, my God,
Stalin was 74 when he died. He lived a ripe old age. Well, yeah. It's not that old, but he was old.
I can only hope that...
Usually karma doesn't get the chance. They get either murdered, they kill themselves.
Yeah.
Or they get executed some sort.
I'm just mad.
I know!
I'm just mad at people.
It is hard to fathom that people could be so, like, such monsters like that. That they could just kill without thinking.
Right.
And order people to kill without thinking. Yeah. With no remorse whatsoever.
Nothing.
That's what happens when you put psychopaths in charge. They just kill people.
I mean, you know?
Those are serial killers that got away with it on a mass scale.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yikes.
There are no Jeffrey Dahmers.
They're worse.
Way worse.
They're definitely worse, I would say. Yeah. Thanks for the bummer.
Hey! You're welcome! I just thought it
That was interesting, though.
It kept popping up. I never knew about Cannibal Island.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Right?
I never even heard about it, honestly. Right? So.
And a lot of people died. 4,000 people died.
In a terrible way.
In a month.
And like...
An island.
I know.
That was less than 2 miles.
That's relatively like a slow, painful...
Oh, absolutely. Oh my God.
So.
It's
not good.
Yeah, it's not good at all.
Not good.
Not good at all.
But thank you and thank the listeners.
Hey! Thank you.
Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, thanks for coming back, everybody. Sorry if this isn't what you expected. I'm a huge fan of history. I don't know if it's because I had a crush on our history teacher, but very big fan of, like, historic events and what.
I just want to put on the record that I had a history class with Kelsey. She sat to my left directly.
What year was this?
It was in high school. And every time I looked over, if I was taking notes, your notebook was shut. If I was looking in the book, your book was shut.
But I passed. I aced that class, bro. All right? If I am very interested in something, I don't have to take notes. I just remember
it. I was listening, you were, like, doodling in your notebook, like... In fact, I believe your head was down most of the time.
Genius, bro. I'm a genius.
Oh, you know what? I don't know if that was history, actually. Maybe that was, like,
geography. If it was math, absolutely.
Well, no, math was
There was no.
You want to talk about the math class? Kelsey and I had trigonometry and statistics together.
Was it true?
Kelsey sat directly in front of me.
I did. The teacher was the coolest dude. And we were just, like, every class that we went to, we were just the good kids. We, like, we never did anything. We never talked out loud. We, like, joked around with the teacher when it was, like, when you could joke. Like, we weren't, like, talking in the middle of class. So all the teachers loved us. And when we were together, they loved us even more. And this was the coolest teacher.
And how did you pass this class?
So... every test that we took, I just remember one test, but it was probably like every test. And we were, it was definitely like you, me, and D. I'll call her D. I was like, that was the circle right there, the triangle. And I would turn my entire body around to Tori and just copy directly from her test.
But the best part was you turned your whole body test on my desk.
My back was to the teacher. My back was to the blackboard. And the teacher was looking right at me. And he was just like, whatever. He probably felt bad for me. He was like, there's no way she's going to pass this course.
Yeah. She can't do this.
And then I feel bad because I think D definitely did not want me to cheat off of her. But I was just like, hey.
Hey, what's up? And you were, bestie. We were what, a year ahead of her or 2 years or something?
A year.
So she probably thought that we were cool. So she was like, she didn't want you to cheat, but she was like,
thought that I was an idiot. Okay. She thought I was an idiot. She was just too nice to say no.
Was that the same class that I called that kid a scumbag?
Yep. That was the same one. It was like such a divide in that classroom. There was our side, which were the good kids that like took notes. I tried to do the test. And then there was the other side of kids that literally they would not shut up the entire class. They never paid attention.
They were not even facing
the blackboard.
They were in a circle amongst themselves. Yep. Just like talking.
And Tori called the one a scumbag one day.
I did. And he was.
He was.
And he literally never came back to that class. He walked out and never fucking came back. Oh, so he knew I was right.
Yeah. He had to have. Or like he just could not comprehend what was going on.
I was so mad. He was talking so loudly. And I think he called some girl a bad word while this very nice teacher was trying to teach. And so I felt it. Yeah. I felt it. Yeah. I get hot when I get mad, mm-hmm. and it just, like, bubbled up.
Scumbag!
And I was like, you're a scumbag.
Oh, my God.
And I just remember it going real quiet. He was like, what?
Yeah, we thought he was going to kill you for a long time after that.
He was like, she just called me a scumbag? I was like, yeah, because you are.
Like, if you think of your high school and you think of like the coolest teacher, like this math teacher was like 10 times cooler than that. Like he was the chillest, nicest dude, and this scumbag was just like talking over him nonstop. Mm-hmm. So he deserved it.
It had to be done.
It had to be done.
You know what? Someone had to do it.
Yeah. Someone had to do it. Tori took that role on, right?
And like I said, never came back.
Never came. And it worked. That was fun.
I think he like legitimately might have dropped out of school the next day.
I think so
too.
Yeah. I actually think I saw him on Tinder one time. I was like, nope. You
should have. First of all, you should have matched and immediately said, scumbag, oh, bag.
Hey, remember this in this grade with this scumbag?
Oh my God.
Yeah. I think he has like kids now.
Of course he does.
No. But
anyway.
Anyways.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Sorry for that little tangent. We like to reminisce sometimes. But anyways, thank you so much for listening, everyone. Thank you old listeners for coming back. Thank you new listeners for joining us.
We'll see you next week.
See you when we see you. If you want to reach out to us to talk about anything, or if you want to suggest things that we talk about, if you want to hear our take on things, our hot take, we have Instagram, Facebook,
Gmail,
Twitter. You can find everything is the Weekly Variety, but the Gmail is the Weekly Variety Pod.
weeklyvarietypod@gmail.com.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. We don't check anything. But we'd like to see that you're interacting with us. And just a quick shout out to Nicole from Bloody Babbles. She had her son.
Congratulations!
Little baby! Anyways, so thanks so much, everybody. We love you.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.